this around. That works better. Are you
comfortable?
Not really.
You're plugged in. You're plugged into the matrix, and are you comfortable?
I am comfortable. Okay, let me get the card up.
What a card.
It was, yeah, good fights,
what
right?
A card, yeah. Good fights. Unreal. Really, really, really enjoyed watching it.
Okay, UFC stats. Sip of tea. C4.
Yeah, get the stats up, because there's a couple of fights that I didn't look at the stats, but I felt it went a certain way, and then you can stat check me if you want.
Song Yudong, Case Kenny.
Giving everyone a laugh. Yeah, and Bobby Green and Fiziev.
Yeah.
Mm, interesting.
Okay.
Come on then. What? Say hello.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Outlaw Picks podcast.
We're back again. Just a review show.
Drum roll. We've got a little arrow on the screen here, Jamie. Put that to the side. Get that out of my way. Oh no.
Everyone knows now.
At least you ain't got your hot corners engaged. It could have caused chaos. Hot corners. Okay. Outlaw Picks podcast. Hi, welcome. This is just a review show because we have no UFC this weekend.
Wow. What's going on?
I don't know. Weird, isn't it?
Just chilling.
Just be sitting quietly on the side.
It's just one week, right?
Yeah. 1 week. Yeah, we miss 1 week, and then the next one's Gastelum Cannonier.
Oh, I like that.
Cannonier.
I like that. Cannonier. Who said that?
I can't remember. I heard someone say it.
Wow.
Might have been Grisham.
Again, I'm glad that's not me.
Anyway.
Should I do the sponsor reads, or have you got any more intro to go?
What was it else I was going to say?
I don't know.
I've got loads
God,
to
I've
say.
Cut him off.
You know me.
I've cut him off.
Well,
I won't get down.
We'll hear about that in the comments.
Yeah.
Well, I'll fill the silence while you're refreshing
yourself.
Sup
of tea.
You do the sponsor reads anyway. You gave me shit last week for it.
When did you do the one on?
I did the Manscaped read, and you were like, "Well, I want a read." It was a statement more than anything, but
it was a bit rough for Manscaped. You know what I mean? A bit rough around the edges. But bearing in mind, we're talking about
smoothing
the edges. It was a bit rough. No, did you do the 4 Uptile Radio one? I can't remember if I watched it.
I did.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
All right.
Yeah, well, that
hard
was
in it. Hard in it, mate.
Mate.
It's tough, isn't
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you hold the show together.
Tough, mate. Honestly, no one knows.
It's a skill holding a show together. Yeah. I tell you, you do such a good job. I'm so chaotic.
Unnarrated. Anyway,
we've got
so today's
C4
show,
this week.
Yeah, today's show is brought to you by C4 Energy. We have here, which I'm going to crack open in a little while, is the C4 Smart Energy Natural Zero, which is a new range they've brought out that uses innovative natural caffeine. So instead of synthesizing caffeine, they ferment it. They extract it from fermented green tea. Did you hear that? I heard that. Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
Yeah. It's not my head.
Just a disclaimer, that the neighbour is doing
building.
Something. I don't know.
Building.
He's like testing out a new set of wings or something next door. But if you hear a bit of background noise.
He's busy fermenting green tea so they can extract it for their C4. It is verified as non-GMO, which will be important to some people.
That is important.
So it's important
yes.
to... If you would
it
like to grab
stuff,
some...
It is
good stuff.
Yeah, it
to
is.
Get you to drink...
I'm on the decaf at the moment because I'm training later.
Oh,
I'm having that after this.
To get you to drink this is saying something because you're not a big caffeine drink fan.
Not at all.
So, yeah, that is true. That's true backing from you. Anyway, if you'd like to grab some, jump on the C4 website, c4energy.com, and use the code FULLREPTILE for 30% off, which every time we say is quite a significant discount.
It
bearing
is
in
a
mind
significant discount.
The price of the product. So, yeah, use FULLREPTILE, get 30% off, and they will. The link will be in the description below, and you can just click on that. We are also, once again, brought to you by our long-term friends and sponsored Unbound Merino. Go on.
Ollie's long-term friend and sponsors.
Yeah. Merino wool is the shit. It's really good. We love it. You'll love it. It's so good that I only get them sent medium so that I can afford them all. I cannot give you any.
We've got a confession, Jamie. We've got a confession.
Go.
We'll clip that, post it on its own. Post it on its own.
No, they're great. Like I would guarantee you, once you got it,
yep,
you understand.
And if you enter Ollie at checkout, he'll come around and massage your feet.
No way. If you do drop in Outlaw at the checkout, you will get 15% off. And I believe that if the order is over $100, they will ship it for free to the UK.
Nice.
Very nice. So please support our sponsors. Obviously, they help us bring you the shows and everything on the channel for free. And we want to stay on YouTube as much as possible, don't we?
We want to stay free to the people.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can get to
everybody. So please support them. Last but not least, we dropped our new training t-shirt line on fullreptile.co.uk, and they fly in. The Full Reptile Boxing
t-shirt,
the Full Reptile Martial Arts t-shirt are flying. So jump aboard quick, because they will be out of stock relatively soon. And just a reminder, we do ship worldwide, but the EU is on the naughty step at the minute because they're fucking us around and we're not quite sure how that plays out. But for the minute, no EU, I'm afraid.
What a mess.
Everywhere else, all good. Jump on. Mess.
We'll send a Raptor. We'll send a Raptor in a van and we'll park in Calais and we'll just sell them out the back of the van.
Sell them out the back,
meet us in Calais. We'll give you a date.
And then we refill the van with little stubby beers.
With little stubby beers, of course.
It's a dad thing to do for my generation.
Oh, yeah. Do a Calais run. Do a Calais run.
Yeah. 100%.
Weird. Yeah. Surely the cost of the ferry and everything would have made it more sense to just go to the...
This is a true story. Mum and dad took us on holiday to, just me and my sister on holiday to France. He's loaded up the boot with beer, loaded it. Remembered all the kids. Go through customs. Customs stops him. Asked dad what's going on. I genuinely went, loads of beer in the back.
Oh, no.
I'm just like,
you used to be a cockney when you were a kid, did you? Yeah. You were a cockney when you were a kid.
Yeah, he weren't very happy about that. Maybe a thrashing or two given out because of that. But,
it's such a weird thing to do, that, wasn't it? Yeah, but there's this weird concept, though, and this is an older generation thing, and I've realised it's gotten less. And I think it's a result of rationing during the Second World War. And the Second World War generation, like...
I felt like you're going to pay an age joke on me then. So this is a long tee up for your 3 days.
I mean, we'll figure out where on the spectrum you sit, because you're definitely way closer to the Second World War than me. However, so we go, like, the Second World War generation had rationing and, food supply was limited. So everything was valuable. Like, my dad's parents' generation, like, it's all about reusing everything, like jam jars were cups and you know what I mean, all that kind of stuff.
Not the expendable generation, is it?
No, not at all. So there's like a hoarding aspect to that generation. And then that's slightly lessened with like my parents' generation, who were born in the mid-60s, which is kind of weird for some people because I'm...
It does make a lot of sense.
I'm really old and people can't imagine my parents are that young. But that's been lessened again. Like, we're the disposable generation. No,
get a new one.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's a different... It's a different
mindset.
Anyway, I don't know where we got onto that.
How did we get onto that?
I don't know. Is it... Welcome to Full Reptile Radio.
Full Reptile. You're not even on the right podcast. Are you... Have some caffeine.
No, I can't. Not now. I won't shut up. I won't shut up. Too early. Stubby beers, of
stubby
course.
Beers, yeah. What makes you think, how cheap were those beers? Because by the time you've got all the way, maybe it's like the beer is actually cheaper than beer here. But we're not talking about petrol money. We're not talking about the fact that we have to travel down there. But the beer's cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, people used to buy cigarettes, didn't they? To cover the cost. Duty-free cigarettes on the ferry. And they come back with like a box, like a carton of cigarettes.
Like three or four times coming back from holiday, I've seen people and then pulling like boxes and boxes of cigarettes out. And they're just like, oh, so close.
Right.
I got all the way to England. Now they've took them out.
I never got into that import.
I mean, I don't smoke.
Can you hear that, can't you?
Yeah, that's pretty loud. Amy, we've got some work for Amy. Sorry. See if you can get rid of that and keep our voices.
She did a great interview with Banner.
Yeah, it was really good. Really interesting. I was really happy for her.
Good to see us on the banner as well, right?
Yeah, very cool. That was very cool. Officially partnered with Glory for their upcoming card, September 4th.
Yep.
Glory 78.
Go on, say the names. Banner Harry against... Voroshek.
Voroshek.
Voroshek. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's...
Amy nailed it a couple of times.
Yeah,
well,
she did. She did a great job. Really good interview.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, we're going to be we're showing the prelims on our channel.
So they call it the Super Series, which is their prelim. So just before the pay-per-view kicks off, we all have all of their prelims live on the channel. Mm. So you can just tune in and watch them there. Mm. And obviously it's a small step over to the pay-per-view from there.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, very cool. I told you, it's like 20 minutes. He's on like a 20-minute cycle where he uses this fucking power tool.
Oh, right.
He's been doing it since 8 a.m.
I thought you talking about me. I was like, what do you mean 20 minutes?
No. You didn't have to use a power tool.
I didn't know it was time limits.
That's silly. Your soft hands, no chance.
I have people to do power tools for me.
You have people to do power tools for me.
I ain't doing that shit.
Oh, hey, what? Putting my merino wool sweatshirt on. He thinks he's Billy Big Bollocks.
Yeah, exactly.
He stopped now.
There you go.
That's quick. Clear for 20 minutes. Yeah. So the time is 2:24. We're going to see 2:25. We're going to see how long he's quiet for. It's about 20 minutes.
I feel like he's had a break for lunch and now he's going to have a good...
He don't have lunch. He doesn't fucking stop. The man's a machine. He's been refurbishing... No, he's starting. He's been refurbishing this house for, I don't know, 2 months now.
Yeah.
But he literally waits until 7 o'clock on the dot and then the power tools go on.
Nice.
And you know me, I'm not much of a...
Yeah, where you live is rich around here, isn't it? You know what I mean? So he's probably trying to double the value of his house.
Yeah.
He's probably trying to take it from $1 million to $2 million around here.
No, the value of this house has decreased because I've moved in and there's no way they can set that rig down in the gym.
No, but you do have new water pipes, so that's probably bumped the value a little bit. Yeah, well earned.
My mum came over yesterday. She walks in the gym and she's like, "Oh, you got rid of the water feature then?"
Yeah. Good job of you, my mum.
I wouldn't dare. No. I wouldn't dare. She's got a hell of a back fist on her. Yeah. Are we going to talk about some fights?
Well, there was a fight.
Are you done with your sponsor reads?
Oh, yeah, we're done. Yeah. Much appreciated, our sponsors. Good relationships with them.
Good relationships with them.
That's what life's all about. Good relationships. Johnny Munoz and Jamie Simmons.
Yes.
It's going great for a little bit, weren't it?
For a little bit.
I thought they were really well matched while they were sort of standing. A lot got thrown, but not a lot got landed in that first round, did they?
Yeah.
The proper feeling out process.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Munoz just went, no. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put a little bit of control and subclinic on here. And he did some really nice things, didn't he? It's a nice transition from into back control. Little mistake from Simmons, and then it was done, weren't it?
Yeah. I mean, not many strikes landed. Like, Munoz landed 24 total, 14 significant, compared to Jamie Simmons, who landed 7 significant, 10 total.
Yeah, there's not
two
a lot.
Two or three takedowns for Johnny. Yeah.
Big feeling out process, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But Johnny Munoz is 11-1 now, I think. Mm. That's a good, decent spot to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a good division as well to be on the climb, because there's, like, that next wave at, at bantamweight, you know, the Corey Sandhagens are pulling the younger kids through.
Yeah.
You know, it's a division that moves quickly. A lot of attention on it right now. And a good way to start the card off. I enjoyed it. Did you see the shot that broke Leonardo's arm?
I didn't see it at all, no.
I've watched the fight back a couple of times.
No, I didn't see it at all.
I'm not sure whether it was that scramble on the floor when she was like kind of getting tangled up and caught in arm bars and stuff. I don't know whether...
Yeah. Good on her, man. She weren't stopping.
She wasn't stopping.
She was like, nah, I'll find a fight through it. And it was like, it's broke.
Like, I'll the doctor was like squeezing the forearm. He's like, it's broken.
Yeah. She's so unathletic.
Leonardo?
Leonardo. Yeah. She just doesn't move fast.
No.
Yeah, she just
but
doesn't
she looks strong,
fast.
Though, do you not think?
She does look, yeah,
she looks
strong.
She looks like she's got judo strength.
Yeah, or like deadlift strength. It's slong, slow, slong.
Slong.
Not definitely not slong strength. Definitely not. She's slow, like grindy type strength, but she's got no real bounce to her. She's got no real spring to her. And I think but she is tough.
Yeah.
And I think she relies on herself being tough. It was funny. So there was a conversation between DC and Cruz.
Mate, they were falling out towards the end of the night, weren't they?
It was quite funny.
That wasn't a sweep. That was a sweep.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a sweep. But, I mean, it was interesting to me because it was the area I'm most interested in. But so Leonardo comes out in the top 2% through the PI. For conditioning, so for physical fitness, and she was clearly she'd gone off the cliff, hadn't she? Like she was clearly Gatto was getting the edge on her, and she seemed like she was putting more pressure on, and she couldn't really hang with it. And I've had this conversation for years. Like you want so the PI will give you some objective data about how fit you are, but you're only that fitness is only what your system can do in that specific environment.
Yeah.
By the time I'm hitting you, I'm punching you and kicking and pushing you backwards all the time, you're always on the back foot, you're always having to contract eccentrically. It's just that, okay, yeah, I've got some nice objective measures. They're kind of useful in some sort of way, but the reality is sport science can only tell you something that is contextual. And by the time you put it into your sport, it's not one for one. You know what I mean? It'll give you a general idea, but
you're only as fit as you are successful in the fight.
Well, yeah,
like your conditioning looks great if you're winning the fight. As soon as you start to struggle, you know that's when anxiety starts to creep in. And like this, like How would you quantify the effect of anxiety or pressure or stress on the cardiovascular system during combat?
I'm being punched. I've never understood, like, what is that affecting?
Yeah.
Because it, like, I mean, I guess with sort of body work and body shots and stuff, is you get the musculature gets bruised and battered and isn't functioning at the same rate, and therefore that has a knock-on effect to, mm-hmm. to how you can... your breathing rate and how you can repopulate your muscles and stuff.
Yeah. See, I always felt more like body shots were more, they were effective because of the disruption of the breathing pattern.
Yeah.
You know, like the ones that really hurt are the ones where someone's actually exhaling as they throw something, they take a shot in the process.
Yeah, but that's dropping someone with a body shot. But you know, that cumulative effect, like what is it that is fatiguing them so much?
I don't know, but there seems to be a cardiovascular impact on some people that get hit with the calf kick. Like, that seems to have a fatiguing factor to it as well. So, like, some people have taken a couple of calf kicks and all of a sudden they look drained and they look... I mean, I know that there's a laboured aspect to their movement, but at the same time, it does seem to affect people's conditioning. Taking a concussive blow has got to release some kind of stress hormones in the body.
Yeah.
There's got to be a minor DMT release in there somewhere. Right. You know what I mean?
Is that why you get fatigued? Because you're like, oh...
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, your opponent's got an elephant's head. Like, what's going on here?
But that conversation went on to conditioning. Like, what is conditioning? And I've said this for a while, and it crosses a couple of different sports, but like wrestling specifically.
Yeah.
I've tried loads of ways to do a load of conditioning, and then go to wrestling, and think it's going to be all right. And you may as well just do none of it. No circuits, no Tabatas, no nothing.
Just
go to rest and keep going as long as you can, then drop out and have a break and get back in there. And then over time, suddenly you can do the session, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's so specific to what your body needs. You do it.
Yeah.
Like, don't overcomplicate, like we've talked about before, don't overcomplicate things. Mm-hmm. You want to get fit for wrestling, it's preferable to wrestle.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to get fit for it, you know? And sometimes I feel like my profession is created all these needs. You've got to do Tabatas, or you've got to do this, you've got to do that, when that might help to some degree, but really just wrestle for wrestling, or run for running, or you know, strike for striking, or whatever, you know, because the specificity overrides everything else.
The conditioning should always be supplementary to the goal, because it's, you know, it's a supplementary aspect to a skill orientated sport. I mean, you know, if you're doing a closed, you know, what's it, what they call closed rhythm, closed circuit, like something like sprinting, or you know what I mean?
Something
that's got a direct path start to finish, and you've got to try and stay as close to that direct path as possible and exert as much force as possible through that path. Like, that's a much more linear thing to train for.
Very few variables.
Exactly.
Straight line. Variable of the track, variable of the weather, but there's no one running at you. There's no one trying to punch you. There's no one trying to kick you, you know.
So it's like the challenge with MMA is identifying all of the variables in MMA and how they need bolstering with conditioning. Like, one thing that I think is necessary is to, you know, strengthen the posterior chain and the neck.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, do some shoulder stability stuff, but also make sure you're doing, you know, a lot of flexibility stuff as well. So you're not finding yourself in situations where you're getting
go beyond your capable range, and suddenly something's got to give. Ligament, tendon, muscle's got to give, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, the word conditioning is twofold. You can be, we can talk about conditioning and not talk about fitness, but it's the condition of your body, the condition of your neck strength, the condition of your shoulders, the condition of your shins. You know, I could be super fit, my shins aren't conditioned for Thai boxing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, they need to be conditioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
Gatto was still in good condition, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Leonardo.
Super aggressive, weren't she?
Yeah, she was.
Like, even when she was put on her back she was just like rolling and moving and throwing up subs.
Yeah. And like, physically as well, in good condition. Like, she's got some shoulders on her and stuff.
Like, she's been away, isn't she?
We
said that in the preview.
Since the last time she fought.
Yeah.
Did you see Mike Pence fly return? You didn't watch the presidential debate, did you?
No.
No. During the president, the vice president debate, a fly landed on Mike Pence's head.
Oh, really?
And it just made him look even more like the emperor of the Death Star. You know what I mean? Like, it was just not a good look for him. Yeah. Anyway, as soon as it had happened, a Twitter page for Mike Pence fly popped up and,
oh,
you know,
brilliant.
Like, started, you know, commenting on the election from the fly's perspective, which was brilliant. I couldn't stop paying attention to it. This fly landed on her shoulder during a post-fight interview.
I didn't see that.
There for a good 60 seconds. Anyway, it was a weird thing.
Feeding off sweat. Lovely.
Yeah, she looked very good. As did Miles Johns.
Yeah, Miles. Yeah,
he's got weird movement, hasn't he? Yeah. He's like really kind of very, very bouncy.
And he fucked up that knee bad, didn't he?
Yeah,
like bad. I don't know. There was some. I think the corner might have said it might have been in Portuguese, but they might have said there may be some pre-existing damage on that front leg of Dos Santos.
Is that right?
And I'm thinking either sort of collateral ligament on the outside, or maybe even, you know, the way that as he did that leg kick, it was almost pulling the shin forward, like it was hitting around the back almost, wasn't it? Side of the calf and then around the back. And maybe that was pulling
him his, a little bit.
Yeah. You know, when you do the draw test for the ACL, like it was hitting that draw test. So I don't know whether it might be some ACL damage, but man, Dos Santos is tough. Like that leg was done early, wasn't it? Like done.
Mm-hmm.
He just had no function at all, really. Yeah. He kept on coming. He was the aggressor more than anything. I suppose he'd sort of run out. It was the only way he was going to get anywhere, wasn't it? To go on the all-out offensive.
Yeah, almost 18, almost 20%, 18% of Miles John's strikes to the leg.
Yeah.
13 to the body, 67% to the head. And especially once you've got that lead legs disabled like that, you don't want somebody moving around like Miles John's does.
No. He tried switching stances, didn't he? But you could see he wasn't really comfortable there. He needed that leg forward, and it was just toast.
Yeah. Really low success rate for significant strikes as well.
Yeah.
So 19% for Dos Santos, 67% for Miles Johns.
Yeah. It's a massacre.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, once that front leg's gone, like, he has to reach, doesn't he? He can't slide in and out of range. He has to reach and sort of lean over that front leg, which is making it even worse when he does get kicked on it. It's just
weight on it. And he's got one loss in the UFC right now. That was that flying knee against Batista, who Veronica's talking to tomorrow.
Man, wicked.
Should be a good interview. Yeah, he looks good. You know, he's had 2 third round knockouts now in a row, you know. I think he's an interesting contender.
Yeah.
What is he? A flyweight? Bantamweight, another bantamweight. Maybe we'll get him against what's his name? Johnny Munoz next.
Yeah, there you go. Just doing the work for
it's
him.
It's easy, isn't it, matchmaking?
Easy.
You just pull two cards out of the pack.
Yeah,
so that'll do. It only makes a difference when they've got a number next to them.
Find
you've
the
got
thread
to
of a story.
That's it.
The dogs once
put
met.
Put a couple of tweets out. Yeah. He called you a dickhead, you know. Stir the pot a bit.
Oh, you're stirring the pot on Twitter, aren't you?
Who is?
I'm not. The people. You've put yourself out there.
Fucking
and
Shil Baloney's tweeting at me. He's the one that's attacking me, and he's attacking John Wayne Parr. Him and John and I have been chatting back and forth and having a laugh about it. And then the other day, fucking Platinum fucking God's Gift Knobhead pipes
Mike
up.
Perry's in the mix.
What a dickhead that guy is. what an absolute... If I'd, like I said in my reply to him, had I not quit drinking and maybe had been born in Miami... I'd have probably turned out like
Twins.
Him, like absolute fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
But what an absolute tool that guy is. Everlasting job stopper right across his face.
You just got to remember when you're getting into a Twitter battle with people from England is they spend their life giving people shit.
Right.
This is not a problem. We've got lists and lists of shit we can give back.
He won't make it through a session at Rough House. He'd lose his fucking temper.
Breakdown.
Josh would lift him.
Yeah.
Josh lift your bra.
He would. He'd love it as well.
Yeah.
He'd arouse him.
Oh, fucking hell. Hilarious.
I was
really enjoying this fight, and I was enjoying Odey Osborne's approach to this. He looked really slick.
I thought he looked
great.
You see those
feints he was doing, the wrestling feints, where he was dropping to his
knee?
Yeah,
and he got him once, didn't he? He got a massive reaction out of it. But then I think he tried it again a bit too soon, and Manel was like... not going twice.
Yeah. But a couple of times he got him. Like the first time he did it, Manel Cap like sprawled back. And then he got up and he was like, okay, you got me there. Odey Osborne's good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that fight for as long as it lasted. And I did feel like he was getting the better of Manel Cap at times.
Until he wasn't,
Until he got caught with that knee.
Mate, Cap is just a spring, and he's like like the opposite of Leonardo. He's just, everything is bouncy, everything is fluid. He does that, the stuff Jimmy's been doing with the pro squad. He pulls and pulls and pulls and pulls and then bang, have it. Yeah, he's...
Yeah, I mean, he was having more success. You know, 65% significant strikes landed, 19 of 29. Jamie, what now?
Remind me later, Jamie, not to have this up on air.
You're gonna have to debut on a podcast.
This is
Jamie,
a debacle.
Unbelievable.
This is a debacle.
I can't.
Dan had charged his iPad, we would not have this problem.
Look, can't remember everything.
I got you, Jamie. Don't worry. What are you doing?
You remember who's got your back when you're at the gym getting shit from
fucking what once?
What?
I think you
need to learn
once.
To hold your own.
No, mate.
Verbal sparring. Well done, Jamie. Well done, Jamie.
That's not a proverb. It's not
you,
a problem. It's the physical that's the problem.
Keep away from the Adobe Premiere button. Yeah. It's next to the heat button.
Do you think it was a touch early stoppage?
Well, I don't know because yes and no. When I first watched it, I was like, I kind of feel like he was starting to posture back up and like work back into his opponent to get back to his feet. But then once the fight was stopped... And I know they like cut the camera and try and get away from it, and the drama. But he didn't look stable on his feet.
I just thought he had an active underhook. Do you know what I mean? If that underhook is like, it's not just like limp and just lying there. It seemed like an active underhook, which is enough to suggest he knows the route of where he wants to go.
True, but then how much of that's instinctive?
I'm always on the side of I'd rather stop earlier than later, obviously, because health is so important, but.
I think Cap would have hit him with a couple of other shots and it would have been done. But he didn't look stable even 30 seconds after the fight was over.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like if you watch the end of it, like initially you kind of see the referee jumping and he kind of turns to the referee and looks at him, and then it switches camera angle to Cap, who's celebrating.
Yeah.
And then when you kind of see him in the background, he's still kind of...
A bit wobbly.
Yeah. And his legs stiffed on that knee. I wasn't mad about the stoppage. When I first watched it, I thought, you could have. But it would have probably been an additional couple of shots that... You know.
I think there's something special about Cap.
You like him, don't
you? Yeah, I do, And we were... It's not the builder, that's me, drinking my C4, which you can get 30% off if you go to C4 and use the code Outlaw. No, 4Reptile.
He has one job.
I'm under caffeinated. That's why.
Is that why it is? Yeah.
I'm fine now.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when we first saw him, he came over from
Rising.
Mm-hmm. We were a bit on him, and then he lost. You know, he lost those two on the bounce. But there's just the way he moves and how bouncy he is. There's something on there, and the way he pulled it and then shot that knee through. I just thought he was impressive.
Yeah.
It seems like there's something there.
Yeah.
And I would assume that is why they got him. Do you know what I mean? They went out and bought him over.
He's still quite early in his career as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, what is he? 22 fights. 16 and 6. 16 and 6. Oh, 6. Okay.
16 and 6, 2.
Yeah, he's got like Horiguchi, Sasaki. Yeah, but then two of them have been in the UFC. Like, he made his debut against Pantoja. Ugh.
Still kind of makes me laugh.
I feel like you've pissed somebody off if you get that matchup first off.
Or
at least
six figures on the contract either way.
At least let me feel the canvas under my feet before you put a lunatic in there with me. Penne against Kowalkiewicz. I was surprised that Carolina went to the floor as quickly as she did. I thought of all the ranges that you're going to tangle with Penne, just don't bother with the ground. You know, it's
backfired heavily. Like
it's her best range, clearly. Yeah. And Kowalkiewicz is a kickboxer. I know she had a heel hook attempt and stuff, but she just looks out of her depth there an extent.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I always sort of empathise when I see it, because you see how emotional she was at the end. Like, she was like, oh, fuck, it's happened again. Mm. Like, this is what, 5 on the bounce?
Yeah, I think so.
She just can't get a win. I don't that, you know, that much. And she just looked zoned out, even when they were sort of announcing the winner and stuff. She was just like zoned out, and you could just see.
Oh,
Jamie.
Oh, my. Now what's happening? Oh,
I hope something inappropriate comes up. I really do. Whatever secrets you've got on that laptop, I hope they come out. That'll be gold.
Oh. There we go.
Now everyone.
Well, the illusion's gone now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That's it. You've seen behind the curtain.
Yeah.
That's it. There are no more surprises. We'll just wrap it here, shall we? just call it a day.
Wow, what a day. What a day.
Welcome to the Technical Difficulties Podcast.
Yeah.
Now we'll start on the preliminary card. I just...
Yeah. It was just kind of sad. Like, I could see just how frustrated she was that this is where it's sort of at right now. But the thing that
I find frustrating about it, though, is because, you know, she released that video on her Instagram where she was, you know, she was emotional, and she, it was like her sign off was like, I guess, find something else to do. And like, if you watch the fight back, there were clearly some things that could have been improved. Like, there were a lot of things that she did that, you know, could have been better.
Yeah.
Like, there's work to do. You know, it's not the end of the road.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the next stage where you've got to put those, you know, put those corrections in place. Like, she was taken down too easy. It was a bad decision to stay on the ground with her, you know? Like, the heel hook attempt was decent, and it could have created a scramble to get her back to her feet, but she wasn't present in what she needed to do to win the fight. In a kickboxing match, I think she beats Penne.
Yeah.
But she went straight to the ground with Penne, it pretty much.
She was good, man. She looked great. She looked in shape. She looked motivated, and like, there was some clear, focus about what she was going to do. Yeah. You know, and she was very emotional after the fight as well. It seemed like there was a lot of pressure on her to make this work.
Yeah, I mean, she'd been out for a while, hadn't she? Because of that the failed drug test. So she was on a 3-fight losing streak and then failed a test. Was out for like 2 years. I think she's 37. Yeah. 38. So now she's back and she's got a split decision win. And then I think it's her first finish in the UFC as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pretty sure it is.
Yeah. Anyway, she's in a good spot. I'm not sure.
Yes, it is. Her last
I'm not sure how to. Much further up she's going to look for her next one. There's some tough fights up in
the... Yeah, there are.
She needs to be careful with who she goes to next, I think.
Yeah. Maybe Tisha Torres, since she got a win over Angela Hill, and they're mates, aren't they?
Yeah, but Tisha looked fucking awesome.
Yeah.
She looked really good. Do you want to jump to... Should we jump to that?
Can do back? If you want. Main card, second one's main card.
Everything's a debacle anyway. It's all over the place, just do it random anyway.
Whatever. I'm excited to see what's going to pop up next.
Talk about Sanhagen Dillashaw if you want.
Well, the next one was Alonzo Menafield against Ed Herman, and I didn't particularly enjoy this fight. Like, Alonzo Menafield battered his leg. I've never seen him bring the doctor in to check a swelling on a leg before.
I think he was checking for smallpox. That's how bumpy it was. It just came up, didn't it? After about three kicks.
Yeah.
It just came up.
He's Ed Herman, isn't it? I mean, he's like, he didn't change his game. He kept walking forward.
Yeah. I mean, he just operates off toughness, doesn't he? He just operates off durability. Menafield must weigh some energy with those right hands that he throws and misses by like a meter.
Yeah.
I guess he thinks in his head that the payoff of that is if one lands, it's going to do a fair bit of damage because it's moving, isn't it?
Yeah.
That object is moving first. Yeah, if he does catch someone, it's going to cause a bit of damage. No, it wasn't.
He landed a good number of strikes, though. I mean, 93 of 140 significant, which is 66%. Mm. Ed Herman, 41 of 126, which is 32%.
Yeah, it wasn't particularly... interesting, was it?
No, not really. Plus, you know, I mean, Ed's game's not evolving and the sport's evolving
rapidly,
and that my concern is that he's going to be there to be punched, you know. And that's, you know, you've got to be getting paid well if that's the trade-off. Morales against Rodriguez.
I didn't have too much to say about that, really. I just thought it was quite a well-matched fight. They were pretty similar, weren't they? Yeah. They both sort of went at it. It needed someone to grab it by the scruff of the neck, like needed someone to step up and dominate it. Just good fight, good fighters. They're just development fighters. It was a bit of a development fight, wasn't it?
Good
one to get done. They'll both move on and they'll both have 5-6 more fights and one of them will probably be significant in, you know.
Yeah, it was a good fight for fighters to learn from as well. Mm. Like, they're scrambling. I mean, there were 9 takedowns attempted and 4 landed, but there was only total, under 2 minutes of control.
Yeah.
You know, Rodriguez landed 3 of 5 takedowns, but only had a minute 14 of control, and Morales landed 1 of 4 and only had 40 seconds of control. So, like, they're the good bits to watch if you're a fighter or, you know, a student of the game, because you can see interesting transitions between two guys that are conditioned and can move at a pace.
Hmm.
I mean, more than 350 strikes thrown total in the fight.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't.
But it wasn't
not
reckless.
Enjoy watching it. No,
it wasn't a reckless performance.
I thought they were good mixed martial artists. The pair. Yeah.
This next one was good though.
Oh mate, I, I feel like I need. I feel like I should give Bobby Green an apology for. I just didn't even see it playing out like that.
No,
I didn't. Not like that. Like, I know Bobby Green's good, but I was like all about Fiziev. I was like, he's gonna go in there. He's gonna light him up, and he didn't at all, did he?
No. It was a lot more evenly matched.
Yeah,
it was a lot more evenly matched.
Bobby Green was really good, man.
Yeah. He actually landed more strikes. Bobby Green did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the stats were.
What, even in one and two? Because he vastly outstruck him in three, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he outstruck him in every round.
Right, okay.
So he did 32 in the first round compared to 25 for Fiziev. He did 45 in the second round compared to 36 for Fiziev. And he did 66 in the last round compared to 43 for Fiziev. Mm. He had a higher success rate. 66 to 40 in the first round, 47 to 43. It was drawn 54% in the third round. That was actually their closest round, pretty much. Yeah. But it was just some of the shots that Fiziev landed were like, they were like highlight reel shots. They're the things that you'll see next time around when he fires, a clean shot straight to the jaw, and then he'd like punctuate it by screaming or pointing. And you know, there were a couple of kicks to the body that he landed that were really stinging.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought his striking looked better. I would rather watch Fiziev than Bobby Green. But I think Bobby Green's got one of those styles that's just...
It's not pretty, but it's pretty effective, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very effective. And he relies primarily on instinct when he's in there because his hands are down,
Forward, hands down. He's just sharp and moves quick, slips and rolls quick, doesn't he?
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like Fiziev his shot selection was better.
Mm.
You know.
So in your mind, Fiziev won it.
I mean, I'm gonna have to watch it again. I've only watched it once. You know. So what I'm saying is my memory of what I've seen the one time. But you know, looking at the stats, I feel like I need to go back and watch it a couple more times because as I was watching it, I felt like Fiziev was. I just felt like he was just generally more effective. Like Bobby Green might have been touching him, but I kind of, like, you know, it was the same thing I was saying about Mads Burnell the other week fighting Emmanuel Sanchez. I think the judges and I think the stat guys, they count a lot of shots that are not really landing cleanly.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you quantify what a significant and what a total strike is. Like on the stats here, significant and total strikes are all exactly the same, and that doesn't really happen usually in fights. There's normally a variance.
Yeah.
So, but I don't, like, how do you quantify like a significant strike? Like
landing on elbows and stuff is not significant from the offensive point of view, is it?
No, not at all. Like, a lot of the shots that were landing on Mads Burnell were landing on his guard. Like, there was one where there was an uppercut coming and he went, like, rolled and took it on the underside of his tricep.
Yeah.
But if you're in the wrong angle or the camera's showing the wrong angle, you see something totally different. Yeah. And the reality is that the strikes landed are not, there's nothing electronic about that aside from the button that the person in the truck's pressing. So there's literally a person making that call of whether it's a significant or a total strike. Yeah. And who is that person?
Like, he's trying to give an objective number, but it's still subjective because the guy that clicking the button is just it's his perception of what's significant.
For sure. And he's not sitting cage side. He's sitting in the truck with the screen. So he's getting the camera angles, which are being selected by the producer.
Yeah.
So then the producer's having an influence on the significant strike, the concept of a significant strike.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a bit of a mess. The way to solve it are the sensors in the gloves and the mouth guards, which we know are in research.
Yeah, they're not far away, are they?
And that will really give us a better picture of what actually landed.
Yeah,
you know, because then we'll have the problem.
Then we'll have the problem of big readings, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's significant. Do you know what I mean? Like we've seen at the gym recently, like getting like hit with not a lot of power causing a lot of damage.
Yeah.
So then is that significant or not significant or what? It's just tough, isn't it? Anytime you try and objectify stuff, it's hard.
If you've got sensors in the person's glove who's throwing the punch and sensors in the person's mouth guard who's receiving the punch, then you can overlay
marry
those.
Them up, yeah.
Then you can see, okay, well, this person threw, you know, I've got no idea of units here, but like say, you know,
Newtons
40
of force,
pounds per
yeah.
square inch of pressure to the jaw, but this person's the force they received was, you know.
You
know, we're going that way, aren't we? The stats are getting better. But it's important to note the person sitting clicking these buttons is not someone that I wouldn't necessarily want in my corner for a fight. I don't know who these people are.
Can't imagine it's someone that's trained necessarily.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. I mean, I think physio is on the rise, and he's only going one way. And off the back of that, I think Bobby Green will be a bit of a... I mean, he's done himself some favours, isn't he?
Such a deep division. Like, how do you get your head and shoulders above? Hooks in there. You know? Like, where do you put those two guys with the rest of the guys in the division? You know? I mean, just look at the top 15. Like, you're starting with Moises Sarukian, Brad Riddell, Diego Ferreira, and Kevin Lee.
Yeah, it's wild, isn't it?
You know? I'll tell you what. Brad Riddell, I bet they train together. Riddell and Fiziev. They're both Tiger Muay Thai, aren't they? I think they are. I bet they train together.
That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
That would be a lot of fun, yeah. Yeah. Or, who were we just talking about? Where's my brain's falling out of my head? Fiziev and RDA would be a really fun fight, just stylistically, you know?
Yeah, RDA's calling out Leon, isn't he?
Is he really?
He's going after Leon, I think, yeah.
That's a bad idea.
I don't think that's a very good idea.
He's been beaten
either,
up by Leon for 25 minutes already. That's not a bad idea. That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, main card.
Yeah.
So was this the fight that you were talking about regarding the stats, the Song Yadong Casey Kenny fight? How did you see this as it was playing out? Because this was a split decision for Song, and Casey Kenny very much felt like he won it.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? And I feel like you could make that case. But they're quite similar, aren't they? They're quite similar. Their output's very, very similar. Like, I can see how it got to the decision it got to, because they're both a massive output, and then gradually it sort of came down. Like, by the end, they were sort of standing in front of each other. Where you were like, no one can keep that kind of output out for that amount of time.
I mean, they both have the same game. They try and bring more intensity to their opponent than they can handle. Yeah. And then, you know, they capitalize on the fact that they fade. Like, if you look back to Casey Kenny against Alateng Haley, like, he put such a pace on him and beat him up to the body with that kick really bad. Mm. But then, you know, Song Yadong does the same thing to his opponents. He sets a pace that they can't keep up with, a speed that they can't keep up with. Like, if Song Yadong had been born in America, he'd be Casey Kenny.
Yeah,
and if Casey Kenny had been born in China, he'd be Song Yadong.
Yeah. Like, they've both got good power. Like, Song's got a lot of power in his arms, but they couldn't really land any power shots, probably because of the agility of each other and the movement of each other.
Yeah.
They just couldn't get him to stand in a spot long enough to put any power down.
Yeah, and I think physically as well, their condition is good enough to be able to withstand a lot of punishment. Mm. You know, I do think that makes a difference. I think conditioning, it gives you a level of resilience to damage. And I also, I mean, especially Song, he's like so heavily muscled and like structurally so, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like
rigid, you know,
thick, yeah.
Like, you can't imagine a great deal of stuff's going to hurt him. You're going to have to really crack him with something.
Yeah, just he takes a shot. I can see that Song edged it, but I can also see that Case would be pissed off about that.
You can see why he would be annoyed. But then, like, so...
Sorry.
And this was a conversation V and I were having earlier today about something that Chris Cariasso said in Casey Kenny's corner. So in the last, 10 seconds, Casey Kenny shoots in, takes him down, lands maybe three or four clean elbows. Now, the elbows were scoring for sure. But when he went back to his corner and there was that kind of lag between the, you know, the fight ending and the decision being called, there was a bit of a back and forth between Casey Kenny and Chris Cariasso. Just the kind of on the camera mic, and he was like it was Casey Kenny was kind of questioning, like, confidently, like, yeah, you know, I won the fight,
didn't I?
Yeah. And Cariasso was like, yeah, definitely with that takedown right at the end of the round. And like, I think this is part of the problem, is some fighters don't understand the scoring criteria.
They're still thinking that takedown is scoring when
it's not. It's irrelevant. The strikes were important, but then, I mean, if you look at the strikes over the fight, like, Song Yadong outlanded him quite clearly, 116 to 78. He failed three takedowns, but then Casey Kenny failed four, landed one, and only had 20 seconds of control. So Andy was reversed as well, obviously.
I mean, I just think, you know, it was that close for a reason, is because they're both significant in the division, and they're at the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're close to the top of it, and that's, you know, you got to be that good. And when you get that close to the top of it, things are won on, you know, tiny, tiny decisions. And I can see I can see that song won it.
Yeah.
Just. Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. I can see, you know, Casey's going to be like mad about it and just burn in until he fights again, I would imagine.
Well, as you said, you know, like neither of them really looked like they were like hurt by anything too much. And in Casey Kenny's mind, he was the one that was moving forward, initiating the wrestling exchanges. You know what I mean? Finished on top. Like his concept of how the fight's being scored. Like I can look back to fights, especially in the like the week after the fight, and you only remember it scattered. You only remember bits of it because you're only really kind of conscious for bits of it. Do you know what I mean? Like you like a lot of it is so chaotic. And it's all happening in the moment. Like, sometimes it's difficult to remember exactly the order of things. Like, you remember Anthony Johnson, the other, when he fought, who was it he fought in his last fight? And he got clipped and dropped. And when they spoke to him in the post-fight interview, he didn't remember.
Oh, yeah.
And they showed him on, he was like, he was like really disappointed in the interview. He was like really angry with himself.
Yeah, I do remember watching that.
I want to say Gadzimorad, but I don't think that's correct.
No.
I will find it right now. It's because we've got his laptop. He can't be a Jamie. Right, see, that's what it is.
He can't appear that he knows what's going on because he's got Google in front of him.
That next Bellator card's going to be really good. Not the next one, I mean. Well, the next one will be good with Musasi, but the one with the two light heavyweight fights at the top.
Yeah, the was it quarterfinals?
Augusto. It was a late replacement, wasn't he, Augusto? Yeah, that was it. Yeah, he got dropped, and when they interviewed him afterwards and they showed him on the big screen, he was like, "What?"
Yeah.
It is sometimes difficult to recall exactly what's happened. I feel like those two boys need five rounds to divide them. You know?
Yeah, I mean, the work rate dropped off the point at the end of the third that makes me want to think, all right, so what? They must have a different strategy for a five-round fight because you can't continue that drop in work rate.
Yeah.
By the get to the end of the fifth, they'll be standing in front of each other.
But that for me is kind of what separates the title contenders. Like, I like the 5-round fights.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this. I mean, we'll get onto this fight in a moment, but I was talking about this with Aldo. Like, he won that fight clear on all the judges' scorecards, 30-27. He had a good pace all the way through the fight. At no point did he look like he was bothered about his conditioning running out. And if you think back to Aldo when he was featherweight champ, he'd always clearly take a round off. It was like, I know I've got four rounds of conditioning for 25 minute fight, so I'll employ it this way, and it was strategic. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got like Zabit, and I think he knows that he's got a 3-round limitation,
but at that weight
I think at 155 he's far more dangerous, but he's not there yet. And I think at featherweight, realistically, I think he knows he's got 3 rounds of conditioning, or maybe 2.5, same as McGregor, you know what I mean? Like a couple of rounds of conditioning, I've got to now manage that amount of condition that I've got over this 25-minute period. And that sometimes, I think, is what divides a champion between the rest of them, you know, or a high-level challenger.
I always wonder what you can do about it. Like, I know we've touched on this before, but it might just be it's the genetic potential. Like,
it's got to be,
McGregor's
hasn't
it? not training.
No.
But he still can't seem to get past that point where it's I'm too twitchy, I'm out.
But
like, this is where I'm at.
Right.
Where my genetics
but if you took like if you took say okay so like if you took McGregor and you took Clay Guida and you know a handful of other guys and you put them through exactly the same training camp, you're not going to end up with the same result at the end of it. You know, like different physical capacities will be amplified in one person or the other.
Talking like me now. You use my terminology. You back at me, motherfucker.
We know
look
you YouTube
me,
everything.
Look at me. Got me changing people's vocab.
Well, you don't know. No, what
know
did
what
you call him? Space Ranger, dickhead.
Well,
it's time for me to change your vocabulary.
I don't know about this shit. Are you mad?
I see how I've learnt your language to enable to speak to you.
Oh, you've lowered it. You've lowered it in able to speak to me. I like it.
No, you're raising my game. No, but you know what I mean, though. Like certain physical capacities will show through,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like I can't jump as high as other people, but I might be quicker than them. You know what I mean? And I think the thing is with these fights, if you're fighting at the right pace over 25 minutes, you should get tired. Yeah. Everyone should get tired because we as humans don't have the capacity to work at that pace for 25 minutes.
No. Without an energy management management strategy. I don't think you can be fit enough to just go balls out for 5 fives. No. You just can't. Do you know what I mean? We just physically can't do it.
It's like, that's why marathon runners don't sprint for 26 miles.
You know? Ironically, if you run next to a marathon runner, it feels like they're sprinting. They're running faster than we can run.
But that's a physical capacity that's been enhanced, because if you're next to a high level marathon runner, they've already gone through the filtration process of all the people that survived. Don't have those attributes.
They're all gone.
But what's nice about MMA is that there's so much variety in how you can apply it, that you can be 6'4" and bantam weight, or you can be 5'11" and light heavyweight and make it work.
Or if you're smart enough, you don't have to have the conditioning to do 5'5"s. If you're super smart and you have a super good idea of strategy and how to preserve your energy.
Yeah. And there's a level of awareness that comes with that as well. There's a level of honest self-reflection. And I think that's something else that Aldo, that's a championship capacity to be able to go, you know what, this is how I am best performing over 25 minutes. And he was able to do that consistently for how long?
It's a bit like white belt to blue belt in grappling, right? Is the blue belt's just realize you don't have to go full on all the time. And they're just a bit smarter with what they chase and, you know, where they sit and where they find their rest and stuff. And white belt was like,
that's it. It's the same with striking sparring as well. Is the more you do it, the more comfortable you are, the more you can find your times to rest.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of time to rest in a regularly paced kickboxing Muay Thai fight. Yeah. You know, like the pace, unless you're fighting Rod Tang, maybe, who's like a fucking lunatic, but
he steals your rest.
Yeah. But that's an attack, but that's an approach, isn't it?
You know?
Tisha Torres, Angela Hill. We talked about this briefly, didn't we?
We touched on it.
Tisha looked very good.
She was wicked. Yeah. Loads of pressure on.
It's just that ceiling, isn't it? Where are these two ranked?
We said this about Angela before, right? Yeah. She just, I don't know whether she can go up and challenge right at the top.
No.
And again, this is one of those ceiling fights, isn't it, where she's just not quite.
Has she broken the top 10, Angela Hill? Because she's at 12 at the moment.
She might have been around 10 at one stage, I think.
Yeah. It seems to be, though, that that's their kind of, and I don't mean this in an offensive way in any way, of course, but like they're kind of the top 10's gatekeepers.
Mm.
Like, you'll come through the ranks, you'll get a Tisha Torres or an Angela Hill, or I mean, maybe Michelle Watson's kind of fallen into that.
Yeah.
Felice Herrick's still ranked. When was the last time she fought? It was like ages ago.
Like, the only people Tisha has really lost to are the killers in that division. Mm. They're probably the top five. I can't quite remember, but it's, you know, it won't be too far off the five of the top five of the ones she's lost to.
Well, let's have a look.
She looked improved. I thought she looked great. She looked motivated.
Andrade.
Yeah.
Joanna. Zhang Weili, and then a unanimous decision to Marina Rodriguez,
Rose. She's fought Rose. She lost to Rose, didn't she, a while ago?
Yeah, ago, 2016. They're the four in a row that she lost before this three-fight win streak that she's on.
They're all, you know,
good fighters.
Yeah.
And that might give us an idea of where Marina Rodriguez sits, because she's, you know, that gatekeeper role, you know, played into.
Do you like her, don't you? You think she's got some
Rodriguez?
Good
Yeah, she's got great striking, and she's more aggressive than the average fighter. She's like a taller, longer Joanna in the way that she strikes. Maybe not quite as aggressive, but I think she's got more pop on her shots.
Well, look, Tisha's 31. She's at ATT, right? So she's coming out of a great gym. She'll be ranked in the top 10. This is the ignition point for her to push through and have another crack at the girl she's lost to. Or this is where she sits and she becomes the gatekeeper. It'd just be interesting to see. I thought she looked good. She looked fit. She looked healthy. She looked aggressive and motivated. We'll see what she does.
Moving on to the next fight. It's like Vicente Luque. You know, you look at his record and he did the same thing. Like, he had a good streak and then he hit his head on the ceiling where he was currently at with Leon. And then he had another good streak, took out Barbarena and Krantz and Mike Perry. And then he hit another ceiling with Wonderboy Thompson, and now he's on another streak
where he's gone.
Randy Brown, Tyron Woodley, and that Michael Chiesa. And that, what was even more impressive about that is that it was Chiesa that initiated the grappling exchange.
Before you even think about how it finished, Chiesa was looking great. He was skirting around the edge. He was making him miss.
I don't like that much movement, though.
Right. When it's Vicente Luque in front of you?
Yeah, but I don't think that much movement looks
wasteful.
It's not even wasteful. It's a different perception. I mean, and I like Chiesa, and I he is a very skilled fighter, but to move that much shows discomfort.
Mm. It shows. But he tricked him into. He landed a nice jab cross. I think he was skirting.
Oh yeah,
he kind of pissed Luque off. Yeah, mm-hmm. pissed Luque off. Luque came in. He like bam bam cracked him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying there's not a value to doing that, but you can't be skirting the cage like that
the whole time.
No, like Mads Burnell was catching Emmanuel Sanchez on overcommitting to his shots, and he was moving forward the whole time. Mm. I'm kind of banging the Mads Burnell drum at the moment, but I've just really enjoyed that performance. And I think, you know, with like if you're Chiesa, like yeah, okay, you know, you've got Vicente Luque in front of you. Back up, use your footwork to stay away from him, but don't
be
like that's like a sidestepping warm up at the start of class, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
You know, it just looks weak to me.
Yeah,
it
looks weak. Nah, I see.
Like you want to be assertive in your game.
Yeah,
like you know, like I was at Polaris at the weekend watching that, and there are two sides to the jiu-jitsu coin at the moment. You're either getting the guys that are assertively grapplers or guys that are passively grapplers. Mm. And the passive grapplers are the ones that sit down straight away and they wait for you to come to them and try and sneer a leg.
Yeah.
And there's a whole game that's developed off the back of it, which, I mean, it's fascinating to watch, but it's such a refined expression of jiu-jitsu that it's now starting to get away from the combative aspects of it in some ways. You know? Like I like someone... Like Dan Strauss had a couple of matches against John Blank. And John Blank's a great grappler, but he predominantly played a game off his back, off his ass, where he was trying to catch Dan Strauss, and they just never quite engaged.
Yeah,
because they had, you know, like there was never a change in pace to the approach, and it was a bit of a stalemate. And I think that's where I don't know. I mean, I think even combat jiu-jitsu changes that range because you can sit in a half guard and slap the shit out of someone. Mm. You know, you can make somebody feel uncomfortable, but.
It's a very different type of style and person. It's like the guys that butt scoot and they're trying to catch you. It's like I'm just gonna quickly catch it and then I'm out of this. And then you have like Jimmy style jiu-jitsu where it's I'm gonna dominate this dude and then I'm gonna beat him up and then I'll put a submission on him if I want
him. Yeah, I can.
But
even
I'm not gonna catch him.
Happening.
He's not gonna I tricked you, got you.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's like fuck out of you until you give me a submission.
Yeah. And the thing is, like I enjoy the professional grappling because I like that refinement where you know you are getting. I mean, it's the same with boxing, isn't it? Like boxing is a clear refinement of the hand striking arts.
Yeah, we took everything else out.
Everything else.
It's just that.
But because it's been around for a while, it's become so refined that it's actually further away from what hand fighting is in reality. Because I mean, you know, because it's been so refined. Same with Taekwondo and. You know, like they've refined them all to a point where it's a closed expression of a portion of combat. Yeah. And you know, and
it's like a quarter of a quarter of a quarter. It's like just refined right down to the
exactly
smallest part.
It's like this is a weird tangent, but one of the shows I watch when I'm trying to slow my brain down is a show called Repair Shop. It's on BBC iPlayer.
Felt like you wanted to say baked then when you said slow your brain down. One of the shows I watch when I'm baked, slow my brain down.
Like you know, if I've watched too much fighting in the day and my brain's racing, I'll put something on that's like kind of relaxing. Yeah. And this, I mean, it's a show that my mum loves. Basically, it's people bring stuff in that's really precious to them, that's old as fuck, falling apart, needs repairing. And they have like this big barn full of specialists. Like this guy just repairs old shoes. This person just repairs old teddy bears. You know what I mean? It's like the refinement of refinement. Like they don't just repair anything.
Super specialist.
It's like it's super specialist. Yeah. And you know, and like Ross Nichols, a super specialist, gravitates heavily towards footlocks.
Mm.
But he had the most success when he was aggressive. And I don't think it's because he was aggressive. I think it's because he had a change in his pace, because he had a change in his approach. Like those sneering leg locks are really useful, but you've got to use them. You've got to use them in circumstances where you can't dominate, where you're not able to dominate. Don't opt to be passive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no.
I mean, I'm thinking from an MMA perspective, of course, because that's my goal. And I like the refinements so I can learn from them and what that refinement would look like as a specialism. Yeah. But at the same time, I like, you know, Jimmy Warlead would on that on the, on one of those teams, like, it would have had a nightmare with those guys because they're all really fucking good grapplers, like world-class grapplers. But you put a pair of MMA gloves on Jimmy Warlord and he irons every single one of them out. Yeah. It's a different game entirely, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm most interested in. But anyway, that was a...
Yeah, there you go. Just
that was a tangent. But Vicente Luque looked very good.
It's funny, isn't it? Like, because his striking is so good, you forget that he's got a heap of subs on his record. Yeah. There's heaps and heaps of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned about the Darce choke and that potentially being a... You know, being something that he could use, because obviously Chiesa lost by Darce to Masvidal, didn't he?
Luque must have four Darces on his record, something like that, four or five. Oh, and Anaconda, maybe four.
Well, he's got Darce against Chiesa, Darce against Woodley, then he's got the KO against Brown from knees, TKO against Nico Price, Darce against Nico Price in their first fight, Darce against Alvaro Herrera. Check you out.
Yeah.
Anaconda against Haider Hassan coming out of the Ultimate Fighter.
I was just reading. Yeah, I think he's got about one.
He's got his notes, boys. He's got his notes with him. We'll hear about that on Rough House Uncensored.
Well, more than welcome to come and give it a go if they want.
Oh, he lands a body shot and all of a sudden he's fucking Anderson Silva.
Can't string a sentence together between them, let alone do a podcast. Ali. Do you know what I mean? I want it to be called Bangkok Ready, to be honest.
You're not ready. That's why we not called it that.
Oh, I'm ready for Bangkok.
Oh, you're, yeah,
I just ain't Thai fighting.
That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
So, Luque's... Well, that must be changing soon. Is it Tuesday? They need to wake up and fix the rankings.
Yeah, they won't be on yet, would they?
No. So, currently, Luque's at 6 and Chiesa's at 5, but obviously they're going to switch.
Yeah.
That puts Luque right below Stephen Thompson and Leon, who are the two people that have beaten him.
Yeah.
Now...
Another crack, you reckon?
Well, I don't think either of them are going to entertain the idea of fighting him. I think Wonderboy's so close to the end of his career that he wants to fight up the food chain.
Yeah.
And Leon's been working his way up this ladder for how long now?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Luque against... he called out the winner, didn't he? He thinks Usman's going to win and he wants Usman.
Oh, they had a bit of a back and forth on social media, I think, and Usman was like, oh, I might see you soon.
Oh, really?
Congratulations, yeah. I might see you soon. Something like that, didn't they? Yeah.
See you soon, boy.
Yeah.
See you soon. I'll see you soon.
he's good, man.
Is he on the fucking...
No, he's on the tools.
It was about
again.
An hour, that was, wasn't it? It was he's about an hour, that.
He's on the tools again.
He had a brew. He had a sit down and a brew. Mate, this is how fucking tuned in my hearing is to what's going on next door. His ringtone is like a cavalry charge.
Maybe that's his alarm. Wake him up to get back on the tools again.
Maybe he's just got it next to his bed. He just holds it out the window. He's just trying to piss me off. That's not a good idea.
It's not hard either to piss you off, to be honest. It's not hard.
I had a conversation with my sister yesterday. She won't watch The Rough House Uncensored.
No.
Because it's
not for mums and not for sisters.
No, it's not for mums or sisters. But she won't watch it genuinely. She's like, no, it's not. It makes her uncomfortable.
Do you remember when she came to condition and she started crying? Because you were getting flogged.
I do.
You know, I was like, pitched it just right today.
Yeah.
I've got a relative in the corner crying. I think we're doing some good work here.
Yeah. Was it 7 a.m. at Leicester Tigers?
Yeah.
Trying to do takedown defense of Jimmy Warlord after doing four rounds already.
Yeah,
oh, it was
horrible,
awful,
horrible.
There were good mornings. We should get that old clip off. YouTube.
I've probably got it somewhere.
Stick it up. Rough House back in the day.
Yeah, hair and everything.
You had hair.
Yeah. You remember the days?
I always thought that was a wig.
Toupee. Early 20s toupee. This next one was. I was so happy for it.
I know.
It was vintage, wasn't it?
It was
so good.
And
I know what you're going to say about...
I love Pedro, but...
I know what you're going to say about energy expenditure and stuff and whether he can extend that over five rounds or what have you, but, oh man, it was just wicked. He was just on form, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was just on form. It was proper.
Did you notice that he didn't have the chest tattoo thing that he had in his last fight?
No.
It was the weirdest thing.
You see weird shit all the time. Like, no one else knew that.
He had a transfer on his chest in his last fight, which was his football team.
But he's not had a. He's
I
not
thought
had
it
removed.
Was a real tattoo. No, I thought it was a real tattoo. Although Dustin Poirier's got a tattoo on his stomach. Dustin Poirier had a tattoo on his stomach that was removed.
I did it.
Yeah, you can see that on his photo.
But you did too when the Chinese branding went out.
Fucking hell, yeah. UFC photoshopped that out. Yeah. With, fortunately, they put Mike Swick's abs on me, so I looked in better condition than I actually was. But
I was wicked, man. I just, yeah. when he's fighting like so that, slick, isn't it? It's just unbelievable. So slick.
And you can tell he's been working a bit more on his boxing as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that long left hook to the body that he's been using was just, it was a thing of beauty. I always feel like I learned something from Aldo. And I don't, you know, I mean, I like Munoz. I think he has a lot of potential. But at this point, you just kind of want to see Aldo healthy at the end of the fight, more than anything. Mm. More than anything.
I don't know. But from Pedro's point of view, like, if Aldo's on, I don't know how many people beat him. When it was just on, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was just on. I don't know how many, you know, it's just one of those. Sometimes you go into a fight and the dude's on and, you know.
Mm. And I was surprised he didn't press him more. I really was surprised because that was the way that he cracks that egg. You know, you've got to hustle Aldo. Because over, like I said, you know, over 25 minutes, Aldo's got good conditioning. Mm. He can work, but you can also work him at a pace that he's not comfortable with.
Set him at a tempo. He's not.
Exactly. It's the same as the main event. I mean, Derek Lewis landed two strikes and he was exhausted.
Yeah.
Because every time Cyril moved, he would flinch and he would react and he would, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that might only be.
But also, every time Lewis, like, just looked like he was about to throw something, Cyril just moved. He just gone. Poof, gone. And then he's like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't know how much.
Little animated cloud of smoke.
Yeah. It was, weren't it?
Yeah.
And I don't know how much, like, and so if oh, that's loud, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I don't know if, like, for Lewis to throw
sponsored
that
by
right
Black
hand,
and Decker today.
Yeah, I knew one. For Lewis to throw that right hand takes that much, but for him to start to throw it and then not throw it, it still might take, you know, 25% of that effort or that energy, or you know. And he did it a lot, all the time. Wicked.
I don't think Derek Lewis deals with pressure as much as people would expect. I really think he felt pressure fighting in Houston. He was the main event. He's fighting for an interim title. I think they stacked it against him.
You reckon?
Yeah, I don't think he deals with pressure very well.
Yeah, okay.
I don't. I mean, you know, like,
I thought Gane was exceptional. Like, if you're fighting Derek Lewis, that's how you fight him, isn't it?
I mean, the last time Derek Lewis fought in Houston, he fought Ilia Latifi and had a good performance. But that's because Latifi was, I mean, he was coming up from light heavyweight. Mm. He doesn't want to strike. He wants to wrestle. He wasn't nearly as fast as Cyril Gann. You know, he was up against the fence, terrified of Lewis's power. Yeah. At no point did Cyril Gann hesitate in being in the pocket. He just knew that when Lewis started to move, he didn't need to stay in the pocket.
Yeah.
Like, there's no point in standing there and waiting to get hit. Like, just go. Use his speed to his advantage. As soon as the fight was over, I got a message from Dean. He said that he thinks that Cyril is the best heavyweight on the planet right now. Like, do you think he fights the same against Ngannou? I think it plays into Ngannou's favour, the fact that they've sparred before.
Yeah.
Especially because they sparred at MMA Lab, MMA Factory, which is really small, which would have favoured sparring for Ngannou.
Mm. Like, Gann will fight a similar fight, right? He'll rely on his movement. But I don't think he's going to play it exactly the same, because I think there's a few more tools on the table, but not many.
Yeah. I don't think Ngannou will back up as much as Lewis.
Yeah.
I think the corner were
asking Derek to move forward all the time, like trying to get him to get on the front foot and move forward and not keep backing off, but he just couldn't get it done. Like, Cyril's movement seemed to, like, freeze him.
Yeah.
He was just, like, lost in this, in the headlights of the movement and frustration that he just, every time he twitched to throw,
he was gone. Yeah. I don't think that Ngannou will back up quite as much as Lewis.
Yeah.
I don't think he's quite as...
That familiarity is going to be interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, MMA Factory is a small space.
Yeah.
You know, we've not got loads of mat space. MMA Factory is really small. And if you put a couple of heavyweights on there,
yeah,
I'd imagine there'd have been a lot of close range fighting, which would have, you know, they're not letting their punches go. But I'd imagine that Ngannou feels comfortable at that range.
Mm.
So it all depends on how Cyril... I mean, Cyril might be aware of his patterns to the point where Ngannou's not improved enough.
And how long since they were sparring together?
It's not too long.
Right.
It's not too
long.
Not
enough for things to be...
It can't be more than sort of 12 or 18 months, really.
Yeah, oh, no.
2 years?
Maybe 2 years.
I mean, we've said a few times, the Gane archetype is the future. Like, heavyweights,
absolutely.
That's what heavyweights are going to look like. They're going to be big, powerful dudes who can move. Yeah.
I was relieved, and this is no, you know, no attack on Derek, but I said to V as we were watching it, I'm glad the fight is playing out this way. This is the way the fight should have played out. Because what you don't want with a heavyweight title around their waist, even if it's an interim, is a powerful expression of a reckless martial artist. Because that's not the pinnacle of the sport. Like Cyril Gane is far closer to the pinnacle of martial arts than Derek Lewis is. He might not have the same kind of devastating one-punch power, but because he doesn't have that power, he's had to refine his skills. Like if Derek Lewis didn't hit that hard, he either wouldn't have gotten far or he'd have been better technically.
He'd be forced to evolve. Yeah. Once you got that get out of jail free card and then you become reliant on it and then that's it. That's your development. And it's stifled.
That's it. Because you've always got that nuclear weapon in your pocket that you can just blast somebody with one shot and everything then becomes about that. That's why he doesn't throw body shots or low kicks or anything. He throws high kicks to try and scoop people. And that straight away, not only did he look nervous when they were announcing him and the crowd making loads of noise, but his first thing he did was throw a high kick and fell over.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's backed up against the fence and that was the beginning of the end. I mean, Lewis landed 16 strikes.
Yeah.
And Gann landed 112.
Cyril put out, I think, a little tweet or an Instagram saying, I touched him and he didn't touch me or something like that.
Yeah.
Like
it was I mean, there wasn't a scratch on his face, was there? Like, I don't know where you count those 16 strikes that have landed. They found three in the first round, but then, like, what are they significantly landing on? Because they didn't significantly land on his face.
No. Maybe a leg kick landed. I can't quite remember, but, you know, who knows?
It's only significant if it changes the opponent's gait or the shape of their leg, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Like,
if there's a welt, it's significant.
Just for one moment, just reversing, Aldo's low kick defense.
Yeah.
Is just fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, kick me.
Go on.
Bang. Go on, kick me again. Bang.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that now, do you? Nah.
As
like
you
could see, you could see Pedro kind of dropped off like,
Yeah, it was great. I enjoyed the whole card. I'm happy for Cyril. I think that was as close to it was almost a perfect performance for that fight in that box. I think he did really, really, really well.
Yeah.
Good seeing Aldo like that. It was wicked.
Really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Right.
Violent.
Well, next time we'll be reviewing Gastelum Cannoneer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wicked. Yeah, check out Rough House and Censored. Check out the Bad at Harry interview with Amy Kelly.
Cool.
We'll have a VN going up on Sunday as well. Who is it?
Yeah, we're going to get a lot more of those.
Paul Craig? Paul Craig or Phil Rowe.
Yeah. We're going to get them more regular, right?
Yeah, we're going to do every Sunday for that. We've got a couple lined up already, but they're going to be good. And check out the Patreon. And thanks to C4. Thanks to Marino. We love you both.
Unbound, C4, and fullreptile.co.uk. Jump on before the t-shirts sell out.
Yes.
Easy.
Happy days.
Lovely. See you next time.
Catch you later.